Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
That's tomorrow. Good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Tuesday, 14th of May, 2024 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes looking at the latest news on the island. The background to the news, we've got sport and business and travel updates and the newsmakers in person this evening. The latest on the assisted dying belt. 5 times more visa applications than 6 years ago. Dog attacks on livestock or stock are on the rise. Patrick commissioners have a new chair and vice chair. And can we reduce VAT for the hospitality sector?
Man Benham for all your business and legal needs.
Of all at 29 minutes ahead of 6 o'clock, the update news headlines. First to my Chanel Soku.
First to my. The Chief Minister says it's a fallacy to think any assisted dying legislation would be completely set in stone. If the bill is enacted, Alfred Cannon wants there to be a referendum before it's implemented. Manx Utilities has spent almost £600,000 installing charging points for electric vehicles on the Isle of Man, generating revenue of just under £150,000 in the last 3 years. And a former clerk of the Legislative Council and deputy clerk of Tynwald has died at the age of 83. Thomas Arthur Broaden has held the roles from 1977 until 2001. In international news, judges have ruled the sentence given to a man who stabbed 3 people to death in Nottingham wasn't unduly lenient. Valdo Colacane killed Barnaby Weber, Grace O'Malley Kumar and Ian Coates last summer. He was handed an indefinite hospital order. At least 2 prison officers have been killed in an ambush on a prison van in France. The inmate was being taken to court from court to a jail and escaped after the attack in Normandy. And police have broken up crowds of protesters outside Georgia's parliament. It comes after a controversial law was passed that will force civil groups and media organizations to declare foreign funding. Those are your headlines. News at 6.
Secure tomorrow today with Man Benham's private client team. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Goramaya, thank you. Chanel from the Ronalds Way Met Office. There's no wind warning in operation for the North Irish Sea. State of sea is slight. And the weather this evening, well, better than it has been. Sunny spells, a light to moderate wind coming in from the east or southeast after dark. Mostly dry with clear spells in that light breeze and down to 10 Celsius. For tomorrow, Jacrane, dry with sunny spells, a light to moderate southeasterly, backing east or northeasterly, top temperature 17, overnight minimum is 11. For Thursday, Jordan, sunny spells, isolated showers, coastal mist too, a light variable breeze, and daylight maximum 18. Sunset this evening is 9:15, low tide 4 minutes before 11, sunrise 14 minutes past 5 a.m., and high water tomorrow morning at 18 minutes past 5.
Manx Glass and Glazing are proud to be an approved contractor with Construction Isle of Man. Call the team on 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
The number of people applying for visas on the Isle of Man is 5 times higher now than 6 years ago. The Treasury Minister, Dr. Allinson, revealed the figures in Keys today.
In 2017-18, the Immigration Service received 856 visa applications and 8,600 passport applications. By 23-24, the number of visa applications had rocketed to 4,451, with the number of passport applications also increasing to 12,197. That is 5 times the number of visas received prior to Brexit. This upward trend has to be considered permanent rather than temporary. To address the question from the Honourable Member, as of the 8th of May 2024, there are 764 visa applications and 835 passport applications being considered pending a decision by the Immigration Service. As a result of this increased work pressure, regrettably, some very good members of staff have left, and we are in the process of replacing them. We've also brought staff in from other departments on a temporary measure to assist with this backload. We've had a number of members of staff who have moved from immigration to other areas of government who we've managed to entice back, so they've got some of that experience and some of that training with them. In terms of training new people up from scratch, it does take several weeks, so this is quite a lengthy process, but we hope over the next 2 to 3 months to get the full complement of trained immigration officers in place. And as I said, we're making some temporary measures now at the moment to try to sift through the backlog that we have and actually deal with the people who've already applied. The Immigration Service understands applicants' frustrations and the difficulties this is causing to businesses and would like to apologise for the inconvenience caused. I would like to provide assurance that we are doing everything we can to rectify the situation and establish a more resilient service for the future.
Our MHKs have been continuing to debate clauses for the assisted dying bill currently going through the House of Keys. Max Radio's John Moss has been there all day and joins me now. John, what's the latest?
Well, interestingly, I wasn't the only member of the media there. The BBC turned up. They're under the impression you felt that we were just about to put the assisted dying legislation through, so they got very excited. But it's got a long way to go. Yet. I mean, it's still got the third reading in the Keys and then up to Legco and elsewhere. And of course, there's that referendum call from Alfred Cannon. Today, well, they've just decided to continue talking. They were due to close at 5:30. They'd got to number 7, clause number 7 of 14. But after Alex Allenson got to his feet and said they should continue, that's exactly what they've done. So at the moment, the Keys are continuing to discuss amendments to
the Isle of Man in 30 minutes. Update on Manx Radio with Andy Wynn.
The Manx National Farmers Union says dog attacks on livestock are on the rise despite recent awareness campaigns. General Secretary of the Manx NFU is Sarah Comish.
In the last few weeks alone, farmers will often get in touch with us if they've had an incident. We always recommend that they contact the police in the first instance and make sure that the incident is reported. But it does seem to have increased quite alarmingly, and certainly over the weekend we've had quite a few reports of various dog attacks on sheep. I would say that when it has happened, when the owner's been in the vicinity, it's very stressful for the owner. I think once they realise that they can't control their dog anymore and what's happening in front of their eyes, I think that's a different scenario. Sometimes if a dog's escaped or it's gone missing for some period of time, people don't tend to grasp what's really gone on or if that dog's been missing. As you can imagine, livestock get extraordinarily stressed. They can cause themselves injury. If the dog doesn't injure them directly, they can cause themselves injury. They tend to bunch together. They will try and escape and they will try and find any route they can to escape. So they can injure themselves on fences and gates. They can die by crushing because they're all crushed together in a corner. The dogs can sometimes drive them into a corner so much that they suffocate. They can run them so hard that they become exhausted. And that can also cause problems. It's extraordinarily stressful and distressing. I mean, nobody really wants to witness something like that firsthand, such as we've had this weekend. But also there's the added pressure of the welfare of the animals ongoing and the impact on your farm business. A lot of this stuff goes unseen.
There's a delay on the Gatwick flight coming in tonight, the EasyJet Gatwick flight. We'll give you full travel details later on, update tonight. Patrick Commissioners chose a new chair and vice chair last night at its board meeting. Gordon Clegg says he's looking forward to the challenges ahead. Here's our local Democracy reporter Emma Draper.
Gordon Clegg was elected to the board in an uncontested by-election in January this year. He was nominated by the outgoing chair Roger Banks-Jones, who will serve as the vice chair. Mr Clegg said he wasn't expecting to be given the role so soon.
I've recently been elected this January, actually, under Patrick Commissioners, and to be elected or proposed tonight to take over as chairman, it's a challenge I'm willing to accept, and I'll do my best for the parish and hope I can help people where I can and keep the commissioners going. I didn't expect to take the chair so soon. I was sort of intended doing a couple of years and just seeing how things run, but the opportunity arose and it's been given to me, and it's a challenge I'll receive and take on as good as I can.
Following the nomination of the chair, board members were allocated roles on various joint committees. Mr Clegg will be the representative on the Municipal Association, whilst Mr Banks-Jones will stay on the Westlands Committee. Henry Brideson will represent the local authority on the Western Swimming Pool Board, and Roger Banks-Jones agreed to continue on the Western Neighbourhood Policing Committee. Also on the agenda was a review into the standing orders. One proposal was to prohibit the recording of the commissioners' meetings, but this was rejected. A suggestion was made by Commissioner Leo Cousins that recording meetings and publishing them like a podcast could encourage people to care about what the authority does. A concern was raised by Mr Banks-Jones about covert recording and the potential manipulation of the audio. However, it was suggested by the clerk that a stipulation could be made to say that any recordings would belong to the commissioners. The board agreed for this to be added to the current list. Residents in the parish of Patrick will receive receive a newsletter from the commissioners explaining what they do and who they are. It was brought up by Commissioner Henry Bryson that the local authority doesn't have a website because they're expensive. Roger Banks-Jones said using Facebook is working and a newsletter will supplement for people who don't use social media or the internet.
This is the most listened to Isle of Man news source, and Manx Radio's update is the Isle of Man's most downloaded news podcast.
Fast to my good evening. It's 20 to 6 live from Douglas in the Isle of Man. Now, there's been much discussion in the hospitality sector recently of a possible drop in the island's rate of VAT, value added tax, to help businesses cope. But why is the Manx government reluctant to cut VAT? John is back with more.
When the hospitality sector gathered in the Manx Museum, the Treasury Minister, Alex Allanson, responded to appeals to drop the VAT to help hospitality cope. This is what he told the sector.
VAT brings in around about 28% of the total government budget. I know that UK Hospitality, the lobby group in the UK, have been arguing with their Treasury Minister about bringing it down to 12.5%. And obviously during COVID, we brought it down deliberately to make sure we could support the hospitality industry, small businesses. But it is a significant part of government income, more so in many ways than income tax. But we definitely are looking at VAT. One of the issues that I'm sure you'll be aware of is this year we're going through the recalculation with the UK called FERSA. So we had the household income and expenditure survey now going out to businesses as well. So later on this year is critical in terms of knowing how much of that common VAT pot we get. We've seen in the past when the UK government have reassessed that and the impact it can have on government services.
You'll note that Dr. Allanson started by referring to the non-inconsiderable sum in VAT the Isle of Man relies on. If that was cut for any reason, the government would have to look elsewhere for the cash to do its housekeeping. The island could be said, if not to live off the VAT of the land, then definitely to lean heavily upon it.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
At 18 minutes before 6, telecoms giant Vodafone said it's halving its dividend next year and handing back 2 billion euros to shareholders after the sale of its Spanish unit, as it also posted slightly better than annual results. The FTSE 100 company was announced a payout of 9 cents per share for 2024, but said it would slash the 4.5 cent per share from next year with an ambition to grow it over time. And for a full daily market report, go to ramseycrookall.com. How well is France doing? Well, some of the world's biggest companies have announced a combined 15 billion euro investment in France as the country hosts its annual Choose France event. Microsoft said it's investing 4 billion euros on initiatives such as developing France's artificial intelligence sector and building a new data center in the city of Mulhouse by the Swiss border. Amazon said it's spending about 1.2 billion euros on its French operations and creating more than 3,000 permanent jobs there. Elsewhere, healthcare giants Pfizer and AstraZeneca pledged investments worth a total of nearly 930 million euros. Last year's summit brought 13 billion euros worth of foreign investment. And while France appears to be having its moment, the amount of foreign direct investment flowing into continental Europe fell 4% last year, according to a new report from the professional services group EY. Germany was hit particularly hard, suffering a 12% drop in projects amid concern over its economic slowdown and energy security.
The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stocks closed higher as global investors reacted to the latest US inflation data. The dollar was slightly lower. Oil edged lower after that US data suggested inflation remained sticky. And gold rebounded, helped by a pullback in the dollar and treasury yields. The numbers from Ramsey Crookall at the close in London, the FTSE 100, up just over a tenth of a percent at 8,428. The DAX in Frankfurt down a tenth of a percent at the close, 18,723. A short time ago in New York City, the Dow Jones Industrial down slightly, 0.02%, 39,424. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index is up 0.33% at 16,438. The S&P 500 up nearly 0.1% at 5,224. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling's trading at $1 US 25.9, €1 16.3, and 23 South African rand 18.6. cents. In commodities, gold is down just over 0.6% at $2,350 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude down 0.33% at $82.27.
I'm running late again. Do you know where I put my car keys?
In the fridge.
Where's my phone?
Under the dog basket.
Bye.
You haven't forgotten that we're seeing Ramsay Cook all later?
Oh, no, of course not. 5 p.m. is it?
Quarter to three.
I'll be there.
Life is busy. That's why Ramsay Crookall's team takes time to help you make a mindful investment decision, considering all the options, giving you full control of your financial future. Less stress, more assurance.
Forgot to put my shoes on.
Oh.
See how we can make your money work for you. Call 717171 or visit ramsaycrookall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Three new people have been recruited to the planning committee. The Environment, Food and Agriculture Minister Claire Barber, MHK, has been telling House of Keys about some of the pressures faced by the team.
In total, there are 454 applications under consideration by planning officers within my department. This is not exceptionally high. This is not uncommon, although I would draw honourable members' attention to the fact that the number of planning officers has been increased within the department. So there was 8 officers in 2023, and that's been increased to 11 officers at present. That's happened actually very recently, but predominantly because of some challenges around recruitment. And there are also 2 other officers who hold other responsibilities but can also help with planning consideration, but they don't hold a portfolio of planning cases. So there is significant work to try and look to speed up, I suppose, the planning process, but without taking away from the important work that the planning process undertakes. I think it's fair to say that for some time the planning team had been requesting some additional support. We have now sought to put that in, but they're all on short term. They're either consultant or temporary staff so that we can assess the impact that that has. I don't have the specific numbers from before, but as I said, 3 of those have only started since April and May, so actually the impact of that will not yet be seen. I think it would be fair to say it's not, from my understanding and talking with officers, the number of applications per se, but it's the complexity in regards to these applications and some of the additional considerations around biodiversity, ecosystems and some things that perhaps we weren't looking at when we look back a number of years in the detail that we might expect now. And we want to make sure that we can continue to do all those things. I think we all want to be there within our planning process, but to do that in a time frame that doesn't hold anyone up.
Manx Radio Sport.
Fastamai, Amy Griffiths.
Fastamai. The Island Games is returning to the Manx venue it started life at in 1985. There'll be 14 sports, but before they're staged, nearly £2 million will be needed to revamp the NSC and the other Manx venues. John Moss has been finding out more from the Education, Sport and Culture Minister, Daphne Kane.
We have an agreement from Treasury and the Council of Ministers to invest £1.9 million in the sporting facilities over mainly the east of the island, which will give us a fantastic legacy. And amongst that £1.9 million, of course, while that's an investment, it is expected with around 4,000 people likely to travel to the Isle of Man for the Games that the actual return, if you like, to the island is going to be in excess of £3.5 million.
The choice of sports. Interestingly, sailing is no longer included. The Isle of Man had a reputation for sailing. Indoor bowls has been dropped out as well. Shooting. Now, that's one where the island's very strong.
Indeed. And I'm so sorry for all those clubs who may well be disappointed because they haven't been selected. But the bid committee spent a lot of time working with the organising clubs and the games committee itself.
I mean, all the clubs wanted to do it, presumably. They didn't say, no, we'd rather not.
No, I think there was one or two who didn't put a bid in particularly. But sailing and shooting, as you say, the Isle of Man obviously has a history with those events. But the criteria that I suppose won through for the other sports was encouraging a larger female representation within the sport.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Inbound at Ronald's Way next, the 7.30 EasyJet from Gatwick was about 40 minutes late, touching down about 10 past 8, they say. The 5 to 8, Logan Air from Liverpool, returning patient transfer is on time. And then the 10 to 9, Logan Air from London City, showing on time. Outbound, the 6 o'clock, Logan Air to Liverpool on time. And the only other one that tonight would have been the 8 o'clock EasyJet to Gatwick, showing to depart at 20 to 9 tonight. On the roads, Hillside Avenue is closed through to Circular Road in Douglas for adjacent office window replacement. Part of Switzerland Road's closed for building work. And on Douglas, still got those 24-hour lights, four-way lights on Woodburn Road at the junction with Windsor Road for emergency gas repairs. In Laxey, temporary lights on New Road by the Lurgy Graw Junction for building alteration. Temporary lights on New Road in Laxey too for building work. And some gas works in Peel on Marine Parade. You've got temporary lights there. And temporary lights on the main road between St John's and Ballylease Bridge for work on the pavements. On the pavements too at Sandygate Road with some lights. In Braddon, temporary lights on Vicarage Road at Stevenson's Way roundabout for water main replacement. And in Farm Hill, temporary lights on Balafton Manor Hill near the Coolfaran Junction for resurfacing. Phase closures at Bella Kilferry Road, Colby for water main work and water main work on the Starvey Road too. And Kendrocket Road in Andrus, and also in Andrus, 24-hour lights on the Andrus and Bride Road. The Matrix signs are showing the mountain road is absolutely fine tonight.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with
Quayside. The news of the boats tonight is everything looks to be okay. The Manxman departed Heysham at 25 to 3. She'll be with us just gone 6 o'clock tonight. Departing this evening at 7.45, arriving in Heysham at 11:30. The overnight departure 2.15, back to Douglas at 6. The Fastcraft left Douglas at 2:45. She'll be into the Mersey. She's in the Mersey now. We'll be on the link span by the Liver building at about 6:15. Departing at 7.15, back to Douglas at 10:30 tonight. Tomorrow morning's departure, 9.15, Manxman heads to Douglas. A little boy from Castletown's been on a mission to raise money to attend the 2024 British Transplant Games, which will be held in Nottingham later this summer. Three-year-old Aidan Cleave has been walking for 3 hours to represent how long he used to spend on dialysis every Tuesday, Thursday and Saturday before his life-saving transplant. Here's his mum, Shirley.
Aidan really did have it tough. Just before he had his kidney donated, he was under palliative care. He'd been into theatre 19 times, 25 times admitted into Alder Hey, 2 admissions into PICU. He had 3 times peritonitis, 3 times COVID, 3 times sepsis, and twice and there were flooded lungs. So, and that was only 12 months, and he'd had, you know, much more before that. It really was the end of line for Aidan. He wasn't well at all. That the life that we had was we were told that he would be unlikely to receive a kidney donation. And he did. Thankfully, he did. As I said, from an unknown hero and a deceased donor, we received a kidney, and we're just now making the most off that kidney and giving Aidan the best chance really to look after it. Anyone with kidney disease will know that obviously exercise, you can sweat toxins out your kidneys, so exercise really is going to be really important for Aidan as he goes through life. So being invited to represent Alder Hey kidney team in the Transplant Games this year in Nottingham is an absolute fantastic opportunity to introduce Aidan into sports. So our 3-hour walk recently to raise funds for the Transplant Games, the 3 hours represents the 3 hours Aidan would have spent on a dialysis machine, and the walk represents, obviously it's a sport, but also before transplant Aidan didn't walk, he didn't have the time to stand up, and certainly didn't have the energy to stand up either. So that's why we've been walking for 3 hours to raise money for the Transplant Games.
The only radio station that's Manx, and we're proud of it. Celebrating 60 years, this is Manx Radio.
A doorman's been handed a suspended prison sentence after punching a woman while working at a bar in Douglas. The story with Sian Cowper.
Warren Clark of Janet's Corner in Castletown was convicted of common assault following a trial after initially denying responsibility for the offence. The court heard the woman had been drinking in the Nag's Head on the 3rd of June last year when she damaged Clark's glasses, leading to him punching her in the face and leaving her with a cut lip. The 57-year-old's advocate said since the trial, he has accepted that the force used wasn't reasonable and that it wasn't the way he normally acts. It was also suggested that the incident may not have occurred had another member of door staff been on duty, like there usually is, as Clark was dealing with 4 people at the time of the incident. Handing down the sentence, magistrates told Clark he was fortunate not to have inflicted a more serious injury and warned the conviction will likely impact his career going forward. Clark was sentenced to a 12-week custodial sentence, suspended for 12 months, and ordered to pay £1,000 in prosecution costs.
Three island residents are set to take on the Three Peaks Challenge, seeing them attempt to climb the three tallest mountains in Scotland, England and Wales in 24 hours. We'll hear from I'll Stand Up to Suicide's chair Paula Dunlop in a moment, but Simon, Sean and first Abby, who are doing the challenge and who've been affected by suicide.
I actually lost my dad to suicide just under 2 years ago now, and he was quite an avid mountain climber, so I knew I wanted to do something in his memory. It's just developed from there into this challenge, and it's now a bigger team and a bigger crew and a bigger meaning really as well.
Well, I lost my son nearly a year ago, and it'll be the day we go, the 28th. The day after the 29th was when he took his life. I wanted to do something towards that, and when I found out what Abby was doing, I jumped on.
I lost my daughter in January 2020. You think you're on your own, and it's only by talking about suicide that we've got this bond now, because we've all been touched by it and been affected by it. We thought there was three of us, but there's actually seven colleagues in Marks and Spencers that have been touched and affected. People have to talk, and the more we talk, the more support is out there. You come into such a foreign world when it happens to a family member, and the devastation and loss is so huge.
The ripple effect, and it goes on and it goes on into the community, people who know of someone, people have heard of someone. We just launched on the 6th of October 2023, and we had our 6 month review with our telephone sponsors, and they gave us figures. 198 people had contacted our service for help and support in the 6 months that we've been operating.
That's it for Update tonight from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to Newsreader Chanel Sukou, producer Amy Griffiths. After the news at 6, Simon and Kerry here with Countryside new series, Chris Kinley with Greatest Hits at 6:30, and John Barker's Folk Show at 9 tonight. Update returns tomorrow at 5:30. So enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.
WINT